It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouthed foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No
holes barred.
Hello, hello.
Hello, darling.
Back again. Here we are.
Good God, it's been a hot
I believe
minute.
It's Easter holidays.
I believe not now.
Have we gone past that?
We are past it.
We're very much recording in the future or
we
in
are.
The past.
This is future us. This is past us in the future.
Oh
God, give me goosebumps.
Fucking hell, it's because the future, isn't it? Who knows what's going on?
As of May, I'm not here for 6 weeks because,
she's on
I'm
tour.
Not having some random surgery. I am, in fact, going on tour. So we're actually, this is where the five-year plan kicks in, isn't it?
Oh,
because
yes.
We're being ahead of schedule.
We are. We're ahead of schedule.
We're doing what we normally
like
do,
us.
Which is a mad dash towards the end, going, oh my God, we've done nothing.
Yeah, we've got loads of episodes backed up now, haven't we? So we're
it's such a beautiful film.
As a good fella, but organised.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? We are in the process, in the past. As you listen to this, you'll be over the Easter holidays, but we are just about to come up to them. There is
so
4 days left.
That's it until, when do yours break up?
Ending
on Thursday?
Doom. Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, fucking 2 p.m. mine are breaking up.
Same.
So inconvenient.
Cunts.
I know, that's not even a day, is it? So
no.
It's actually 3 days until they break up in my mind. What are you doing for these holidays, Laura?
We haven't actually got anything planned. My birthday's in it, and obviously I still have no idea what's going on.
No.
So he told me, keep weekends around your birthday free. So
okay.
I have no idea what weekend it is. Could be this weekend. Next weekend is actually my proper birthday weekend.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I have no idea.
How are you feeling? Excited?
I don't know.
Because you're turning 40, aren't you?
I am. It's the big 4-0.
It's the
so
big
So for those of you who might not know, when Steve turned 40, I did hear he said he didn't want a party and he didn't want a surprise.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's fine. I will give you a camping experience with all of our friends and family. And it won't be a surprise because you'll know that we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was a surprise. So that was his 40th. It was called Steve Fest. And I hired a field, bought loads of like wigwam tents and everybody stayed over. It was just like loads of fun. Dogs, kids, everyone was just running wild. So that was his 40th birthday.
Yeah.
That's not really my idea of a 40th birthday.
No,
fun.
What's your idea then of a 40th birthday?
I don't know. Like, I go in swings and roundabouts. One part of me thinks, oh, I'd love to be without the kids. Then there's another part of me that thinks, actually, to wake up on my birthday without them, I think I'd be quite sad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think I'd like to go away.
Yeah.
For sure. I'd really like to go away. Definitely. But beyond that, I don't know. I think my expectations are relatively quite low.
Yeah.
I'm pretty chilled about these things. Like, I don't really have an expectation. You know, like, I'm not expecting anything in particular. And I think that's quite the nice thing because he hands over the responsibility to me. I mean, obviously, I'm going to fucking do it anyway because he has no responsibility because he's a man.
Yeah.
But, for me, it's quite nice because I do hand over responsibility and I think it's not my problem.
And what about the sort of the whole thing of turning 40? How's that feeling?
I've never felt more liberated than I am now at my age.
Yeah.
I am living my authentic self.
Oh my God, what a cliche. But it's so true though, isn't it?
I have come into my own.
Yeah, I think it happens
really
in your late 30s. You just definitely give so many less fucks and you feel
way more comfortable
in yourself.
Yeah, I know some people have really freaked out about it and I get it because it's middle age. It's the potential second half of what's to come. But I actually think then this, for me, I guess, the second coming of being middle-aged, is I've gone, okay, so how do I want the next part of my life to look? I want to make sure that I'm fitter, I'm healthier. Obviously, I still eat loads of shit, I still have takeaways. It's not like my life has changed that significantly. I don't have any strict rules, but this is that hyper-focusing about me. When I get into something, that's it, and I don't find it difficult.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. It's like I'm hyper-focused on it.
Yeah.
So for me, and I like, from a personal perspective, watching my dad decline has been a big wake-up call for me to just take a different route in life and take care of myself in a completely different way and be more holistic.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe my hyper-focus has come from heartache, really, because of what I've watched him go through. And his mobility failed really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that was a thing that kind of was his demise, really. But so I think that I'm kind of pumped
all right
about
with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck me. Like, if this is what it's like, then this is great.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like I lived the best part of my life already. I feel like I'm living it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely career-wise, that's the same for me. That whole sort of thing of like having a career. I wouldn't really describe what I was doing as a career before same. I started doing this stuff. And that's only happened in my latter half of the 30s. But yeah, I think the only thing for me now is turning 40 is like just looking older. That's something that I struggle with a lot. I find it really hard because, you know, like in your mind, you're not really consciously thinking about what you look like and you just feel the same, like you don't feel any different. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, that is not match up with what is happening in my brain.
I think that my perspective on what looks young has changed, probably.
You reckon?
Yeah, so like my friend, I said to Steve the other day, I was like, she's 50. She looks so fucking young and incredible. And Steve was like, but just remember the fact that it's because you're older that you think she looks young.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that maybe that's why I don't, like I'm looking at everybody else and I'm thinking, we all kind of look the same. Apart from, you know, those rough people that you might see that you used to go to school with that were absolute cunts. And you're like, oh, has life not treated you well? What a shame. What a shame, sweetheart.
You look 65 and
you look 65 and I'm just reminded that actually I'm not doing too bad for myself.
Yeah. No, I struggle with it, mate. I find it really hard. Just the whole thing of getting older and not looking the way you used to. It's difficult. And it's weird because it's not really my body, because actually my body's all right. Like, it's not what it was when it was 20. But I feel pretty fit and healthy, but it's my face. It's like, I feel like that's changing.
And yeah, I look at your face and like, I think you look so youthful. Like, it just goes to show, doesn't it?
I know,
like
it's all perspective, isn't it?
It is all perspective, yeah.
And we're all worst critics, basically.
Yeah, and then when we focus on something, we can obsess about it. Oh my God, that's so wrong.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, if we were to see it on another person, we'd be like, oh, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice it.
No.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I really think that's got a big thing, is because I can, if I focus on something, I'll get it in my head, that's it, I'm fucked.
I know, it's
I
so
obsess
hard, but
about it.
I think the thing is, because I've done it for lots of different things in the past to do, I definitely used to do it with my body, like way more, which honestly, I don't do it anymore, but it's been replaced by my face instead. But I know I'm doing it, so I have to really try really hard to disrupt it and be like, no, almost like, you know, we were talking about that whole creating the new neural pathways, all that bollocks, like trying to do that, just being really kind and just be like, no. And that actually it's fine to look your age. Like, what's wrong with that? You know,
embrace
that's
it.
How old we are, you know.
But it's because of what we're surrounded by. The media is the worst.
It is the absolute worst. And just the pressure on women to stay young and youthful, because it's so linked to like, you know, basically, on a very basic level, it's linked to like reproduction, and that
is,
you know,
and how attractive you are to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And like, and a man wanting to find you attractive. And as much as we might be in happy, secure relationships, it doesn't mean that that's not a part of who we are, because we're fucking women. And
it is, you know, it is definitely a way that I've had validation all my life, is like, from men finding me attractive. Not I'm being like, I'm Claudia Schiffer, I'm not saying that, but just it's there. I think it's in all of us, we know.
Now anyway, mate.
Oh my God, I saw someone the other day that just like, it's too much surgery.
Yeah.
It's too much surgery.
Yeah, but then even that, it comes back down to, I remember you saying it when you said about the Friends reunion, and you said it was just a visual depiction of the expectation of a woman
staying
young versus women. And also, like, we're going back into the rag an hour quite quickly here, but it is a natural realization that when men go grey, it's hot.
Yeah.
It is. I don't, like, somebody said to me the other day, so I watched this program called Yellowstone. There's a guy on it. He's got black hair, black beard, fit as fuck. His name's Rip. But in real life, he's ginger. And I put on my stories to say, fucking hell, I'm so in love with him. And someone was like, ooh, but he's ginger in real life. And I was like, I personally don't have an issue with that.
Oh,
I
think, my God.
To start, my husband is ginger. Obviously, yeah. Like, more auburn. But I personally find ginger really attractive. I don't think it's a hang-up.
No.
So, obviously, there's some women that wouldn't find grey attractive. But naturally speaking, generally speaking, men with grey hair is so much more widely accepted from a younger age than it would be a woman.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, we worry about going grey naturally because of it aging us rather than embracing, but this is what my body is, this is who I am, this is a representation of
same
who
with
I
the wrinkles
am now.
It's like the wrinkles, obviously they age you, and so you know, like, hey, if only I could just not have these wrinkles, everything would be okay. It's like, no, it's not gonna make any difference, you know.
And also, I think it's really hard to chase away wrinkles and then not be other really defining obvious issues, like your neck, for instance, or
exactly.
Like, your cleavage can look like fucking crepe paper.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
But then you've got a face of a 21-year-old and it's like, do you know, and you're just like, yeah.
It doesn't match up.
It's not marrying up here, honey.
And there is a look, you know, there's like a look of lots of having had lots of work done. It starts
and
to
you look
tip
at the Kardashians,
fucking hell.
Like, fuck my life. They are Kris Jenner, who's like, what, fucking 106? And she looks younger than me.
Yeah.
And it's about remembering the fact that every single image, every angle that they put out into the world is so well orchestrated that it doesn't show a depicted reality. It shows a depicted... Well, it is a false reality because it's giving an idea of the fact that you can grow old and continue to look that way.
I'll tell you who looks absolutely stunning, incredible.
Hit me.
I absolutely think she's so beautiful. Gillian Anderson.
Oh,
mate,
please.
She is
that
the creme de la creme. She's 55.
She is the most beautiful thing that ever fucking existed.
Yeah, she really
is. If I were ever to be, like, I obviously have dabbled with the idea that I've thought I wanted to be with a woman.
Yeah.
So I've obviously been confused in my past. And I've ultimately come to the conclusion that I definitely do prefer men. But Gillian Anderson is the one exception.
Oh, mate, she's just so gorgeous.
Beautiful.
I'm just looking
there's
at her now.
She just oozes everything that's sexy.
She really does, doesn't she? There's this thing, I'm like, what she had done there? Because I'll do what she does.
Yeah, because it's so subtle.
Yeah, she looks incredible. But obviously you don't need to have anything done at all.
No,
you know, it's just...
darling.
But it's very difficult because I think now it's so normalised that you do have things. And I saw Megan Fox being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she looks like a different person these days.
Yeah.
And she's very young as well. And it's like...
I'm pretty sure she's our age.
Is she?
I'm sure she's about our age. Yeah, maybe a tiny bit younger. I don't think a lot.
But she was saying everything that she'd had done, like, work-wise. But then also
37.
She's 37. Like, nothing on her face moved at all. Like, she looked like AI. That's how bizarrely perfect she looked. And then she was like, oh, yeah, when I have a facelift. She was saying... That's going to happen for her. You know, like, it wasn't, oh, maybe I'd think about it. Or if she said, when I have a facelift. And I just thought, God, that's so sad, isn't it?
It is
that
shit.
At 37, you're already saying, yeah, I'm going to have a facelift. I don't know. Is it sad? I don't know. Oh,
God. I think the reason for me that it terrifies me so much is how painful it would be.
Yeah,
I know. If I'm honest, like, that would be the thing that would really... It is a recovery. And I'm shit. I'm not very good when I don't feel safe in my own body. So to put myself through something like that, I know that my mental health would absolutely kick me in the ass during that time.
Yeah. And also,
and I don't know
that you're
put
like,
myself through it.
This wasn't like a medical necessity.
No.
You know?
And maybe when I'm 50, I'll say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Because also, there's no shame. It's like, you know,
it's such a thin line though, isn't it, between
God, it's so
being
hard.
Like you can do whatever you like and la la la, and then but then also like why
going, but why are you doing
it's
it,
it's the reasons that we do it. And though that's what's problematic. It's not if you do it. I think it's the reasons why we all feel pressured to do it and to look around.
And also, I think the other thing is like when you start doing something like that, just be prepared for the fact that your potential, your hyper focus on your wrinkle forehead or your fucking turkey neck, whatever it might be, your bingo wings, it will move. Like that part of your brain, it doesn't just die when you fulfilled it. It will find another insecurity and it will then work on that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's about working on why you feel like you need to do it. And we all have that as well, like I do.
Yeah. And that's why I think I want to do the like the 90-day, just something to try and stop like overanalyzing my face, basically.
Well, I don't know whether I did talk about it the other week. I think I talked about it off podcast about me and my 90 days helping my self-esteem.
Yeah, no, that we talked about it.
Was it? I did talk about it online.
And then we were talking about how it worked for drinking as well, which was like literally an addiction. And then it's gone now. And just saying how powerful that is. And it's about
mindset.
And
that chatter can be addictive. Mm. The inner chatter that you have every day, like whatever that might be. And I'm not coming at you with any form of experience or intellectual background on fucking changing habits, mate. I have none. Being drama, I'll remind you, that's probably all I can be accredited for. But from my own personal experience, and obviously remembering the fact that I do have obviously a different kind of brain and the way that it functions to a neurotypical person. So it might be different for me, but just the addictive ways in which I can find myself speaking to myself.
Yeah.
It's a pattern and I wake up every day and I do it. And then I would also notice the cycle for me is like it would come at a certain time of day,
really?
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that work? That's non-logical. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. That's just a thing my brain has decided. This is the time of the day that you're going to fret about this.
Yeah.
This is that time of the day when you're going to feel shit about yourself. It doesn't make any sense. It holds no value.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, it's that side of it that, you know, like you have to kind of stop the pattern.
I know. It is about stopping the pattern and creating a new pattern that's a positive pattern.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we went deep so early on in the podcast.
You know what? We went so fucking deep. I need to get some headache tablets. I'll be 2 seconds.
Giving you a migraine.
We've got a horrible mice problem.
Have you?
Horrible.
Oh no.
Field mice as well, which is worse.
Fuck. Why are they harder to get rid of or something? Oh yeah, they're tiny, aren't they?
They're exceptionally intelligent is what I'd say.
Really? Oh no.
Jesus Christ.
What about the dogs? Don't the dogs try and get them?
Do they fuck?
No.
My dogs haven't had to try and chase or anything in their life other than Willow. She's brought me 2 dead squirrels. You know, can you not grab a fucking mouse?
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, I have not. They are literally like Flash out of the Marvel comics. They are so fast. It's just one little bastard.
Yeah.
I believe to be one little bastard. So we've put all the bait and traps down. I'm really sorry to anybody that says you shouldn't kill a fucking mouse. I'm not being funny.
No,
you come
not
into my house,
mate.
You eat my fucking food and you piss on my pillow. I'm going to have a problem with that.
It's so
on they probably have. So we put all the baiting traps down. And we've not seen anything else but one little cunt in Elliot's bedroom. We have pulled his bedroom from fucking corner to corner and we cannot find the little bastard.
Oh, you're
joking.
Now,
we've got fancy mice.
Yeah.
They're on death's door. I'm not going to lie, mate. They are what you would consider OAPs now of the Fancy Mice Society.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a society or just general.
I like to think it is.
It's a society of nearly dead mice club.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went in the other night to check on Elliot before I go to bed. I always look in the mouse cage because one of them's already died of old age. I say old age. I mean, I assume I didn't fucking do an autopsy on them on the breakfast bar. But, as I peer in, it's dark and Elliot's got like his little nightlight that goes up onto the ceiling. I thought, what the fuck is that? Oh. There's only a fucking field mouse in there. The little cunt was in the bowl with 3 other mice chowing down on some food.
Well, just the mice that
the mice were chill. The mice were like, it's all right, mate. Yeah, come on in.
Come in, mate. Have a cup of tea.
So this is 11 o'clock at night. I've woken Elliot up. Elliot's now invested. He's like, mum, it's there, it's there, it's there. So I I barricade what I believe to be its source to get in and out. And I think, right, you little cunt, in the morning, I'm going to get you. I'm going to put you inside the little container thing and I'm going to take you as far away as possible and release you because you are not taking the bait, which means that you're not going to die. You're just going to continue to haunt Elliot's bedroom. I woke up in the morning. I walk in there smugly. The cunt's got out.
Yeah, of course.
Steve went, oh, Laura, I've Googled it. They can get through something as small as a pencil.
Oh, my God, seriously. Yeah, they are so tiny field mice, aren't they?
Mate, and it's awful because you just feel diabolical for killing something that small.
Yeah, but not really.
Steve said, he was like, fucking hell, babe. It's like, it's horrific. He said, I've just walked out in the back garden. There's a mouse that's dead. It must have had some of the poison, walked in the back garden and gone, oh, I need to get some fresh air. God. I don't feel good. And that was it. It was a goner. We believe that we have isolated the problem. And there was one man standing.
That it was in the mice cage. That is so funny. He's like, mate, these animals here are caged because they are pets and you have just waltzed in like it's a fucking mouse hotel.
Yeah. Hello, wait.
I'd like to check in, please.
Oh, shit, Barry. I can't believe it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, I sympathise because it's London and I don't know anyone that doesn't have mice in London. It's rife here. Really
it's
bad.
Awful.
But we have all the bait stations. I haven't seen one here for a long time, to be fair. When we moved in, it was like the fucking Pied Piper of Hamelin.
I remember you saying.
It was insane. They were everywhere. And they were all in like the skirting.
Pied Piper of Hamlet? You're a dick.
They'll float. They'll come here. It's fucking East London. It was mental. But they were like, what always amazes me about them is that they run up walls. It's like, what the hell is this?
It's too much, you know.
I don't like it.
I'm on that for that reason. I'm out.
Yeah, I will
You're
be.
You're all going to die.
I'll be killing them. Yeah, sorry. No, I don't do the mouse
traps.
Because
they cause house fires. Like, they're, you know, they're, the this is not a laughing matter here.
It's just not.
they chew through fucking cables. Yeah, you're out. If I get even a fucking glimpse of the fact that I think one of those cunts is in my house, I'm down to the range and I'm buying every bit of poison and loading all those traps. I don't give a shit.
No, no animal welfare concerns here. Thank you very much. All right, should we do a story?
I would love you to. I've got a funny story.
You got a funny story? Yeah, go on then.
So at one of my first jobs I had, it was at a tiny little hair salon with a really small back room and toilet. The boss was really stuck up and very strict. One day, having felt pretty hungover, I was desperate for a poo. Post-poo booze is awful.
Yeah.
I had to use the tiny toilet. For the life of me, my poo would just not flush away. I flushed and it wouldn't leave. I panicked as my boss was outside the door wondering what the hell I was doing. I wrapped my hand in toilet paper, reached into the toilet, grabbed my massive poo out. I had no idea what to do with it until I saw a window in there. I flung the poo out the window, but in my haste, it fell.
Oh no!
There was no way I was going to get it. I watched the poo decay for months.
Oh. But no one else spotted it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. Did she just go in raw as well and just like pick up the log and
she wrapped her hand in toilet paper.
But the actual log was in, it just dropped out easily then. So it was literally just a raw turd on the windowsill.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I was like, what's that noise? It's my phone. Someone's ringing me. It's fine. But I'll ignore it. I mean, I've had the absolute fear of, you know, like having to do a shit in a workplace and then someone walking in behind you.
You've got to really quickly go.
It's worse
so offensive
when it's a small workplace because then, you know, you can always do that thing if someone comes in after you and be like, oh,
isn't
God,
it
stinks in here, doesn't it?
It wouldn't flush. That's the problem. It wouldn't flush. So you have not got that choice. You can't just leave the log floating. Who left that?
In my old workplace, I can't remember if I talked about this person before, but we had someone that we called the Phantom Farmyard Shitter. Remember?
I don't know, probably. I've got a poor memory.
This is it. Okay, first of all, this is in a secondary school because there was just so many, like, yeah, bizarre what happened. So they always used to go to this one disabled toilet. So it's quite a big toilet, and they just left the most horrific scenes in the toilet. It looked like literal cow pat. That's what we call the farmyard shitter, because it was like...
Did they not flush?
Daisy, they never flush, ever.
Now that, I'm afraid, is bang out of order.
And you know, like, the eternal bog of stench?
Yes, I do, very well.
Yeah, that's what it sort of smelt like, but it also sort of looked like the weird flat turds that were on top
of
that.
I'm going to say they've got IBS.
Potentially, but why did they never flush the toilet?
That's the bit. You know what, mate? Drop and run. I understand, but please do not tell me you haven't got enough time to flush that fucker away.
And also,
it's common decency.
And then the other thing was, which I always noted, was that there was no toilet paper in the toilet as well, even though there was a massive shit. So they'd done a drop of a very sloppy poo, not wiped their bum, and then gone about their business.
Good God.
Not acceptable, is it? Yeah, big time, mate. And then once... there was the farmyard poo was in the toilet, and then there was loads of like pubic hair in the sink. So it's like that someone had trimmed their pubes in the sink at a school.
Fuck. Was this a woman's toilet?
It was mixed. It was like a disabled toilet, so it was mixed.
That.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see a woman doing that.
I don't know, maybe you would. Who knows? I don't know. People are just disgusting, aren't they?
I feel like, no, but you know what Steve said? The men's toilets in his old job, he was like, they were always vile.
They are always worse than the women's toilets. They always smell.
So that's what
so
makes me think
worse.
That men
and are dirty
would leave a cow pat and not flush.
And they'd stoop to the
time.
Levels of doing a pube trim in
it's
the
complete
fucking
depravity, that is.
Sink.
Imagine walking in on that.
Oh, mate. Yeah. So, well, I did. Not them actually getting their views.
No, that's what I mean. But look, I'm obviously really funny about public loos.
Yeah.
And it takes the smallest of things to upset me.
It deeply upset me.
Yeah, I can't actually express what would happen.
No, I once had a stomach bug and had to throw up into that very same toilet.
Oh, God, don't, Vic.
And,
that
you know,
actually
like,
activates my gag reflex.
Oh, it was so bad. You know, you're just like, don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. It was so gross.
Well, you need a period bin as well.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, we need one of those. Like,
oh my God.
Jesus
Christ, that's awful.
Honestly, although saying, like, even in the women's toilets there, I did go in, and this is also the staff toilets. The kids did have access to it, though. They could sneak in. Like you had to have a pass to get into them. But sometimes, I don't know, teachers would let them in if they were desperate, whatever. And I did go in there once, and there was just a used sanitary towel just stuck on the wall in this cubicle.
Nice.
You're like, oh.
Kids are vile, aren't they?
Well, it could have been a grown up, mate. These
I'd like
people
to think
were
not.
Responsible for the education of the next generation.
Yeah. Look how well it's going.
It's going excellently so far. So grim.
Yeah, that is grim. That's a lot, isn't it? It's just so awful. Just to be...
Well, the poo particles as well, I just felt like they spread everywhere. I'm like on the
walls.
So
I feel like when I walk in and there's been a hot turd that's been laid,
yeah,
I feel like the air is hot.
Yes. Yeah.
I can
as
almost
hot as your anal ring.
Yes, and I can pick up on their essence in the loo, and it upsets me. I don't like it.
It upsets me deeply.
I almost feel like Psychic Sally when I've gone into a toilet and I'm like, a poo has been laid here. I can just tell. I can tell by the air.
Yeah.
The consistency of the air is different.
Can you do like a profile on them of who laid the turd as well?
I probably could.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, the cow pat, that's not a woman, that's
man.
A man. Yeah. That's a man.
His name is Brian.
And he's got a hairy back. I'll put money on it.
That's it. I've got a little bit of titillation for us.
Well, I like
we're
going to
learn something today.
Oh, good.
So, hi, ladies. Love the show and have done from the very beginning when you're both still getting to know one another. Aww. Amazing to witness your beautiful friendship grow. Anyway, reason for the email is to ask if I'm the naive, innocent one, or if you or your listeners may also be aware of the existence of sex toys named cock locks. Now, I did not know about this.
No.
I've never heard
cock
of it.
Lock.
I only learned about them from a friend who supplements her day job earnings by popping off to London every so often to take on the role of a dominatrix. The stories to be told are hilarious, but she recently told me about the fun that can be had from using cock locks. What the fuck are those? And I asked And then like, so I immediately Googled and found this website.
Oh, wait, is it a chastity? It's like a male's chastity. Yeah, I have seen them.
My eyes were well and truly open when reading the descriptions of some of these devices, which supposedly amazing additions to a fun-loving couple.
Oh. I'm allergic to metal, so I'm out.
It looks plastic, this one. Who's in the picture? They can be controlled by an app from anywhere in the world and apparently available in sizes to fit all. The Ferrari model has a description which I'm sure would totally terrify most men, including my husband. Or am I totally missing out on something that everyone is enjoying, albeit secretly? Your thoughts on this would be great to hear. She sent a picture.
Yeah, it's quite something. It almost looks like a handcuffs for just one hand, doesn't it?
You know, it reminds me of, you know, like in the medieval times when they used to hang people up in those crow's nests from when she came into port to be like, warning, if you do something naughty, this
is pirates beware.
That's it. It looks like a cock crow nest.
Yeah, a cock crow nest. Maybe that's what they should call it.
But on the squiff, because it's bent a little bit. So, but that's for a flaccid penis, right?
Yeah.
So if it gets hard, then
you're in trouble.
You're in serious trouble. Maybe that's part of the joy.
But I guess obviously you'd have to be into a bit of dom stuff to be interested in one of those. I'm not in.
Imagine
Rob trying to wear that through his trousers. It can be activated anywhere.
He wouldn't stop complaining, mate. He'd find so uncomfortable.
It's trifling.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, also, his penis is under lock and key for most of the year anyway, without needing a contraption for it. That's it. Yeah. It comes out twice a year. Oh my God, my sex life is so boring.
But I guess, is it because if you have trust issues, like what is it?
No, it's a power play, isn't it?
I don't think I'm that interested in the power.
No, like I've said many times before.
I don't want the power. Steve,
no,
we'll take
the other way around. Yeah, please. I just need relinquish your control.
Take the fucking power, mate, for once in your cocking
life. You've got the power. Yeah, they don't need it though, do they?
No.
At all.
No, there's no requirement. Null and void. Not interested. I'd much rather not.
It's so depressing. Really fucking pisses me off. You know, we were talking about the sex doctor that was in last week's episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to the private view, the launch of her book.
Are you?
I'm going to go. It's next week.
Oh my God, that'll be amazing.
Because she's got a new book out and we all need to read it. So let me just get the name of it.
It's the sex with children,
isn't
it?
It's with kids, isn't it? Not sex with kids, obviously.
That would be weird. That would be weird. Ignore that bit.
The sex
doctor. How to keep your sex life with kids or something like that.
Yes.
How to not let your kids ruin your sex life.
That's it. How not to let having your kids ruin your sex life. I mean,
she's
come
so
on.
Brilliant. I love her. She's such an incredible woman. If you don't follow her already, please do. Everything that she's doing is so monumentally massive with regards to female and sexual pleasure. It's huge. Relinquishing so much shame and shedding so much light.
And she'd said something about how many times you have to get up in the night, which is obviously to tend to a child. And the more your sleep is disruptive, then the less obviously your body is, but it also shuts down your sexual responses.
Oh my God.
Can you even believe that? That's why I'm dead inside.
Because of you.
Because I've been woken up practically every single night for the past.
Yeah. But how do you solve that issue? I'm sorry, kids. I don't want to ruin
kids,
my sex drive.
That's it. I mean, 6 years of it being battered, that explains so much about our relationship, doesn't it? It really does. But also how integral sleep is to just the functioning of your brain, like the healthy functioning of your brain.
And everyone we're all going to hear the story of the woman that's like, no, I just get turned on like all the time. She is a rarity and I'm not shaming her, but she is generally speaking the poster girl for what women should be. And in actual fact, that's quite uncommon.
Yeah.
Although
the other thing is too
that...
But actually, it might be the other way, that it's the husband that's got the lower sex drive and not the woman.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a misconception that it's more common for women to be the ones with the lower sex drive.
Yeah.
I think there are plenty of women that have a really high sex drive, but their partner just doesn't match it. And that's really difficult to navigate as well. I think it's equally difficult to navigate.
Doesn't
it's
matter like where you are.
Not being on the same level, the same par. Like,
but
that's
then
what's
I think
hard.
It is generally really hard to be.
I know.
I just think it is like to marry up with someone and throughout the whole of your life to always have the same, meet each other with the same sex drive, I think is exceptionally difficult.
Is that why people swing?
Maybe that is why people swing.
It could be a factor.
We've established me and you. No, it's too complicated for us.
Yeah. We just get too
invested. I get too invested, yeah. I also, like, I'm really into Steve at the moment. Like, so I just think, oh, I'll keep him because
I'm really into Steve at the moment.
I'll keep him. I quite like him at the moment. You know, when you go through those phases, you just think, I fucking hate your guts.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, actually, you're all right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's trying. He's trying his best, you know. God love him. Hang on, I've got another fucking delivery. 2 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he was a very nice delivery driver.
I heard you having a little chinwag there.
I wasn't. I was trying to get him out, but
all right.
Get him out. Fucking hell, Laura. No, you won't. Get him out, mate. Yeah, like, I don't know. We've established, we've gone over the swinging thing so many times over. It's not for me.
Yeah.
And Steve and I have, like, had in-depth chats about it, more intrigue, not because we were contemplating it. And we've both, like, said, we both kind of agree with each other, which is not it's not really our thing.
No. I think it's very hard as well. When you've always been in a monogamous relationship, it's hard to get away from that. I think The mentality of it, of everything that comes with that, and the sort of feeling like it's a jealousy, isn't it, for me?
It would be for me as well.
More than anything
Wildly
else.
Wildly jealous.
Because it feels so not my experience in life to have like multiple partners at the same time.
No, exactly. Yeah. And also, like, I don't know. I personally have seen the other side of it, in that I have spoken to, obviously I'm not going to name names or anything, spoken to or had conversations with people that are very much in it for their partner,
mm-hmm.
or that they are trying really hard to be invested in it because they love that person and they want to make the relationship work, but they don't necessarily want to be in swinging.
Yeah.
So I think there is a huge range in swinging, and I think that a lot of people will sell the dream, but it's not always like that. And I think that's worth acknowledging. Like,
yeah. And also, it is, at the end of the day, there are people's feelings involved. It's not just as straightforward as like fucking. I don't know. Maybe it is for some people. If you, maybe in a club it is, but I think when you're swapping partners and things like that in a longer term arrangement, which I believe is what happens, I think that's complicated because then people start having feelings, don't they?
Yeah, and actually, I know somebody who was into that whole swinging. She was a unicorn, as they would be called, and then she got into a open relationship with somebody, and it remained open. And I think about 18 months, 2 years in, she was like, I can't do this anymore. I actually want commitment.
Yeah.
I miss having one partner and I miss that deeper connection to something.
Yeah.
So I think that I think what it basically is that swinging is not necessarily a permanent lifestyle. It's like anything. It's changeable.
Yeah.
Like you and I, like, we're married, but it doesn't mean we're always going to be married. I'd like to think I will be, but I don't know that I always will be.
Well, no, you just can't, there's no certainty in life, is there, as well? That's it. At the end of the day, it's what I've learned. There's no certainty. So you just have to, you know, roll the fucking punches. Mate. Yeah. That's it.
Take them to the fucking gats. But yeah, I know I wouldn't like to do it. It's not my thing.
No.
I like comfort, and I realise I need nurture. I need a lot of nurture in a relationship, and I don't feel like I would achieve that through swinging.
No. We still need to go to the swingers club, though, don't we?
I know. I've got my fucking dress and everything, mate.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can sort that out now because my dad's dead now, so you know.
And my dad's dead. Woohoo!
There's no dead dads getting in the way.
No dads to die left to do.
So we should do it. We'll go.
Yeah, we've not got that hanging over our heads anymore, eh? No. I mean, my dad wasn't even due to fucking die and he died.
Although, the reason we were going to go, well, it's for the purposes of the podcast, isn't it?
If you get run over by a car, I'm not leaving the house for another 6 months. Because I know it's going to happen to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was something that we both were so interested in. Like I said, I actually find relationships, dynamics, I always have, really interesting. I could sit and listen to people's relationships all day because I find how things work, like dominatrix. I find that really interesting. Someone that's a sub, like I would find that really, I just really like the idea of how relationships work, what makes people tick and stuff.
Yeah.
I always have done. And well, swinging, you know, I find so interesting because it's going, so alien to me.
We're going in for research. That's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's not to fuck.
No, to give, like, you know, an informed opinion that's based on our experience.
Oh, fucking hell, if you were to meet me in any normal social situation, let alone that, I'd be a logistical fucking nightmare.
I'm still gonna find it very hard to stay up as late though, because, you know, they don't even start, they don't kick off till like 10 p.m.
you're gonna do it. It will be the adrenaline of knowing that we're gonna see a lot of sausage action.
Oh god, it actually makes me feel weird, like thinking about seeing another penis.
It's just the idea of watching something like that. I'd just be like, oh my God.
I will not. I know what we're like, mate. If we get a hint of a ball bag, we will be laughing our fucking tits off.
I won't look at you.
I'll be able to contain myself.
So there are situations with certain people where I know that if I'm in a situation, I don't make eye contact with that person because I'm hanging by a thread.
Yeah, that will be us the whole
time. That will be me and you. I'm not making eye contact with you. In fact, I might not even be able to be anywhere near you.
No, I don't think I can be.
We'll have to be back to back.
Yeah, that's it.
But then if I even remotely felt you near me.
I know, I would be able to sense you. Like, yeah.
I'd be able to pick up on your laughing embers, you know? if I can pick up the presence of a poo, I can pick up.
I was going to say that you can definitely pick up my presence of me just feeling deeply uncomfortable. Oh my God, so funny. Right, well, we will keep you posted on that because we have promised to do it for such a long time. When you come back from tour, we'll arrange it.
Yeah, I think that would be brilliant.
And we'll get our little dresses on.
And then the other thing was that we were going to do, we'd actually managed to find a club that were happy to work with us so that we could potentially do a podcast in...
That's right.
In one of the clubs and like actually interview some people, all anon, obviously. But yeah, that would be so, so fascinating.
Yeah, we need to sort that out. That's part of our 5-year plan for NHB, mate. We need to be a bit more organised, don't we? Yeah. But yeah, that, and also they said about doing another show, didn't they?
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
Love show.
Yeah, very excited. Okay, so if you want to send us any stories, any other business, you know, there's Ragging Hour still, confession.
Oh, God, I love the Ragging Hour.
Just anything that you want to tell us, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com.
And revenge stories,
Of course, we love them. What else can they do, Laura?
Head on over to our Instagram page at noholdsbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
And don't forget the sex ties. Sex ties.
Sex ties.
Everything's there to tickle your fancy. So check it
out. Tickle your fucking bone.
Check it out.
You filthy little cunt.
Fucking hell. All right.
That was a lot, wasn't it? That was too much.
Quite liked it, actually. So we will see you all next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.